Gavin's on leave. He's in Greece at the moment, I think. So he's unfortunately not here. But what I want to do, why I call him out, I just want to honor these guys. I've been going around to a number of congregations for the last 5 years and visiting various eldership teams. In the evenings, I go and watch and sit down in eldership meetings, and I listen to what they are talking about and what they're saying. And what I can tell you is that this team is one of the finest teams that I know. I want to honor them. These guys know each one of you, and I can't believe how well they know you. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're sitting at the table there, and they're, oh, yes, this guy, yes, that can, this person, that person. I'm like, I don't even remember all these people. And they know every one of you, and I just want to honor them and honor Joey and Donna the way they're leading as well. Well done, guys. You're amazing. Thanks. So unfortunately, my precious wife's not here. She went away for a week's leave. She does send her love. So we had Joey and Donna around last Friday night for dinner. And we were chatting, and Joey asked me, what's on your heart? You know, is God saying anything? And I said, oh, God's speaking to me about love. I dashed upstairs, got my laptop, brought it down and showed Joey, you know, all these wonderful scriptures that I pulled out on love and what's not love and everything. And let's just put that scripture up quickly. It's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. And 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter, right? This is the most used scripture at any wedding that you go to or renewal of many marriages. You'll see this one. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable and keeps no record of when it's been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. So having been around, you know, been in Josh Gen for 20 years, different preachers would say this, okay, put your name where love is. So Joey is patient and kind. Joey is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. And then you're like, no, man, I'm not so sure about that. And then we go, okay, what about God is patient and kind? So that preach, gone. So, you know, I was wrestling with this, and I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, we try so hard, but why are we missing the mark? Why am I missing this? In the scripture, Jeremiah 17, verse 9, says this. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So internally, you know, we've got this heart, and, you know, we all sing these wonderful songs, love songs from the heart. You know, I'll give you my heart, and, you know, all you need is love. Da, 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 da. But then I realized, you know, as I was reading the scripture, that love is actually a war. Love is a war. You know, there's somebody and something's contending for your love. And Joey has been going through a series on flesh. And I do believe that our hearts, like flesh, can fold to the wrong side or give up to the wrong things. And you don't often hear love and war in the same sentence. You know, you won't say love is war is love. But it is, and you'll see early on, because it is a bit of a contradiction. So I'm going to put another scripture on, and we're going to sort of work around this during the morning. It's 1 John 4:20, and I'm using the New Living Translation. Sure. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God, whom we've not seen? See, biblical love is a place where you are willingly going to sacrifice something of who you are and what you have. It's not just cheap words. You know, it's something that you're going to do that's going to lift the person up. It's going to glorify God in terms of what you're doing. And when we remember love and the way we've been loved by Jesus, our hearts start turning towards Him because we're desperate for more of His unfailing love. And the word unfailing, if you look at unfailing love in the Psalms, is like over 95 times. He mentions God's unfailing love. So every gift that you and I have, every good gift that you and I have, comes from God. Because He loves us. And He wants to spoil us. He called us His children, which we are. And He is Abba Father, which He is. And then He gives us gifts so we can use them in the kingdom. And we don't necessarily earn them. We don't necessarily deserve them. In fact, Andrew always says the only thing we deserve is hell. We don't deserve it. But out of His love and out of our hearts of gratitude, He gives us good gifts. You know, when we originally came to God, when you gave your life to Jesus, I can remember I did this as well. Oh, I mean, I was like so stoked. I've just given my life to Jesus. I went around to everybody and I said, you can't believe it. I've given my life to Jesus. You know, I was this guy. I'm not that guy. I'm no longer this guy. I'm this guy. I'm saved. And I was like amped because I loved God so much and what He was doing in me. But as time went on, that kind of like faded. You know, I'm not as excited and not as enthusiastic about God's love when He saved me as where I am now because I've become familiar. I've become very familiar with that love. You know, not that amazing grace that He's just extended to me when I got saved. So we've become very familiar with this. At that time that you gave your heart to Jesus, you realized you're in a state of neediness or dependency. Lord, I cannot do anything without You. I need You, Lord. I need You desperately. I need You all the time. But as we sit here now, as we matured as Christians, we no longer say that. We no longer say, God, I need You today. I need Your grace every day. And remember, it's by grace that we are saved. And I'd love to talk about my wisdom, my strength, and all of my good deeds and what a good person I am. But when I look at that list on 1 Corinthians 13, I realize there's nothing in me that's worthy of talking about. There's nothing worth talking about. I'm just a blob. Thanks. One thing that I'm very happy about is that I do know I'm a child of God. I'm His son, which is awesome. So woe is a contradiction. Let's look at John 1:4:20 again. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? I'm always hit with the strength of this passage. You know, you're a liar. You know, if you really love God but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And if we're being honest this morning with ourselves, and you would examine your actions and reactions over the last week today, do you really love your brother as you love God? How many of you had a fight in the car coming here, married couples? And you get in, you put on your happy face. And you climb back in the car and you pick up where you left off. We say we love God and we celebrate God's love and we sing beautiful songs about God's love to us. And they are amazing. But in us, in each one of us, there's an irritation, an impatience, jealousy, greed, selfishness, to the people that God has placed nearest to us. The people that you love the most. I can say I love God so much, but my wife, who I love dearly. I'll marry her 1,000 times over. She unfortunately has a hearing issue. She's got 2 hearing aids, and when she wakes up in the morning, she doesn't put them in straight away. And then she starts having a conversation with me. She's like, "What day is it?" I says, "Thursday." And she says, "Are you thirsty?" "No." And then, "What?" And then I've got to go louder. And she still can't hear, and I've got to go even louder. She says, "Why are you shouting at me?" And she says, "Suddenly this thing rises in me. I'm becoming impatient with this person that I love, and that is not love. That's not the standard that God set for me." And then why do I get irritated? Why do you get angry? Why do you get so upset? It's because you love yourself more. You're hurting me. You're making me irritated. You're annoying. You're greedy. It's just me. Me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. And the reason I don't love people in my life the way that I should is I don't love God the way I claim I do. Let me just repeat that. The reason I don't love the people in my life the way that I should is that I don't love God the way I claim to. And I think that's relevant for most of us. The center of my heart is the one place that I should never be. The center of my heart is for God and God alone. His throne is established in my heart, and that's where His love starts. We also have a war of deception. So, yeah, I laughed at this one as I was preparing it. If I were to ask you, what does a mature Christian look like? What would your answer be? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it look like to have a life of faith? Some people are scared I'm going to point and ask them, eh? Maybe it's what we've done on the outside that defines our Christianity. I'll give you a couple of examples. Isn't that obvious? We'll say, well, a mature Christian is faithful in attending Sunday meetings. Yeah, we agree. You're all, yeah, because you're faithful, you love God, and you, yeah. Well, we also say a mature Christian gives regularly. We had a beautiful testimony about tithing this morning and watched a wonderful video. Yeah, and yeah, he's a good Christian if he gives. A mature Christian knows his Bible. Yeah, for sure. He should know his Bible if he's a mature Christian. And a mature Christian gives himself to ministry, like I am. Yeah, you must be a good Christian. Do you know what? You can do all of those things and not be a believer. I was leading Edge Meet. Baz was there with Gabs. Abs, sorry. It's all right. And there was this guy, we loved him to bits. He served regularly. In fact, he was a deacon. And 3 years into my stay with him on the deacon team, one day we did an altar call and he came forward and he surrendered his life to the Lord. He had never given his life to the Lord before, but he appeared to be a sold out Christian. He did all those things. He came to church, he tithed, he gave, and then he served. Everything was on the surface, but inside, he hadn't given his life to Jesus yet. And each one of us could do that as well, because we say we love God, but we don't to the extent that we should. And remember, Jesus says on the final day to some of you, to some of us, could say to me as well, "Depart from me, I don't know you." Say, "But Lord, I prayed to you every day. Lord, I prophesied in your name. Lord, I casted out demons. But Lord," and he says, "Get away from me. I don't know you." Because your heart wasn't surrendered to me. You didn't allow me into the center of your heart. You were the center of your heart, Kim. The question is this, guys. What happens behind closed doors when nobody's watching? What happens in your quiet times with the Lord? Are you really pouring out your heart in love? Are you really crying out to God for His mercy and His grace? Are you really just pouring out love and more time with Him? Love, love, love. So you can receive more grace and more love from Him. Or are you like a one-minute noodle? Hey, God, good morning. I'm on my way to work. See you tomorrow. Instant. And God deserves more than that. He wants to pour out His love on us. He wants to lavish us with His love. But our hearts need to be ready to receive it. So how can you struggle to love a wife that is a gift that God's given you, and you say that you love God? Remember, it is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. How can you struggle to be gracious with your husband while saying, I love God, particularly when he leaves his underwear on the ground? How can you struggle to be patient and kind as a parent of your children, your siblings, and your friends while saying, I love God? And my friend and I just had a tiff. And I'm not going to speak to that guy again for the rest of my life, but I love God. No, you don't love God. No, you don't. You're a liar. That's what God says. The true test of biblical faith is willing, self-sacrificing love. Why? Because it's only when the selfish heart has been transformed by His divine love that we can truly love Him. Our lives and our hearts need to be transformed by Him to be able to love. So I'll give you a bit of a story. Just put 1 John 4:21 up for me, please. Okay, and God Himself has commanded that we must love not only Him, but our Christian brothers and sisters as well. Just look around, look to your left, look to your right, and you really say that you love the person sitting on your left and your right. Okay, so I've been in Josh Gen for 20 years, and this isn't a feel sorry for me moment, but this is the truth, and I'll tell you how to deal with this. Sometime late last year, one of the senior guys on team came to me and said, why doesn't anybody in Josh Gen like you? So why don't you guys like me? I thought, I'm all right. Why doesn't anybody like you? And he didn't just say it to me. He said it publicly to a number of people. And that hurt. So firstly, I try to justify it. Well, maybe I'm too black and white. Maybe I'm a little bit strong. Maybe I've been a little bit prickly because I've been running so hard. I've been looking after Josh Gen on my own for 4 years and there's been no support. Maybe that's why they don't like me, because I'm always asking them for feedback and I'm giving them, you know, stats, where they're doing well and where they're doing wrong. That's why they don't like me. God spoke to me. He says, no, Kim. They don't like you because you don't love like I love. That was hard. It was very hard. Because every time I sat down with Joey and the team, or any other elder, any other person in Josh, and in the back of my mind, I'm saying, these guys don't like me. There's something that I've done, something that I've said, they don't like me. But God, He showed it to me. That, Kim, your heart is not in the right place. You are succumbing to flesh. Your flesh is ruling and reigning your heart at the moment. Your heart is like me, myself, and I. My heart is sore because of what these guys said. And Jesus said, look at what they did to me. They crucified me. My best friend, Peter, he ran away.
the day I got crucified. And just because the guys say, oh, people don't like you, why? It's a small price to pay. Because when you start to love like I love, believe me, the people are going to love you the way I love you. Then there's a war on calling as well. You may not have been called to be an elder in the church, or a deacon, or community leader, or kids teacher. You may not have been called into full-time ministry either. You may also not have been called to be an apostle to take the message into the nations. But please hear me. You have, each one of you, hear me. You have been called to love. You've each been called to love. It is the inescapable call of your life. This is my call, this is your call, and that is to love. If we can't love, then that word says we are liars. And I don't want to be branded by God one day. Kim, you're a liar because you said you love me, but you didn't like your brothers. You didn't forgive that guy that says, whoever, that those people that Josh Jen doesn't like you. You didn't forgive them. So, Kim, you're a liar. You're not worthy of coming into my throne room. It's a reality check, a wake-up call. Father, forgive me. Forgive me. For my heart was so self-centered. It was void of having you there, having your love, having your wisdom, having your truth, having your grace inside of me. So when I look at the people, I look at you, I love you. And when I say I love you, I mean it. I genuinely do. I love every single one of you. Right now, there's a bit of a scare going on. It was in the news. Churches have become a soft target. So there are guys coming into churches, holding them up, taking all the tithes and running away. So now we have to look at the security. We're going to look at putting security around you just in case that happens. But let's say one of these guys comes in now. I would be the first person in God to take that bullet for you. I would. Not because of my age. I know my years are running out. I loved Will Murray, what he said about age. He says, you know, life is like a toilet roll. He's like, what? He says, you know, you got that little cardboard thing where the paper's wrapped around. You know, when it's new, that little cardboard thing in the middle turns slowly. But as the paper starts running out, that little cardboard thing spins faster. Mine is spinning like at a rate of knots at the moment. So we've all been called to love. It's an inescapable command to all of us as God's children. We live in different places. We live in different circumstances. We live with different people. We're called to different things. But the one place we share unity in our calling is that of called to love. You're called to love. Guys, this is not a heavy word. This is a serious word. Don't say to me, you love me who you can't see, but you don't love your brother. Wow. When Jesus was facing his last few moments with his disciples, he prayed in John 17:23. Can you put that up for me, please? Father, I pray that these may be one as we are one, so that the world may know that you sent me. You see, if we're going to live lives that are selfish, self-absorbed, self-orientated and competitive and angry and irritable and impatient, people aren't going to be attracted to us. They'll stay away from us. Oh, you Christians are all the same. How many guys have heard that? You're a bunch of heathen, you know, whatever. It's because we're living that lifestyle. But when the very same people live in lasting, peaceful, loving, merciful, gracious community with one another. That is a testimony that God is in our midst and God's love has been displayed to people who don't know him. K Can you be that beacon on that hill, that light that's going to radiate God's love to people that don't know him? Or are you going to go into your house, close the door, and say, God, it's between you and me and me and you? God wants us to be the light to the world. God wants us to have a beautiful testimony. We heard some wonderful testimonies today. John 13, 35 says this. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Can we honestly say, as I stand here in front of you, brothers and sisters, bros, as Joey calls them, do you really love, really, really love one another? Would you just say it? We go to community on a Wednesday night. You come to meetings. Do we really love one another? Will you really sacrifice something of you to serve somebody else? Finally, let's get right to the heart of who God is. 1 John 4:8 says this. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. So whatever misconceptions or thoughts or views you had about love, if it doesn't entail God, then it's not working. Because God is love. And he loves us so much that he sent his only son to die for you and me. So that we could live a life in eternity with him. That's how much he loved us. He loved us before we loved him. That's why he sent his son to save the world. He showed that it was a loving sacrifice by an innocent man for people undeserving. And that, my friends, is the heart of the gospel. That's the heart of what the word is. 1 John 4:9 to 11, my final scripture, and then we're done. God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This, ladies and gentlemen, is real love. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, Joshua Generation, Sunningdale, 11 a.m. Since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. It's a big call, eh? Suddenly you look at the person on your left and your right and say, actually, do I really love the person? Or do I just like them? Or I just know them? It's very quiet. Okay. Guilt. No, there's never guilt. There's always redemption and opportunities. God's a merciful God, and he knows our hearts, and he knows that we want to love like he wants to. But you may be in a situation now where you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you don't realize that he paid this price for you, that because of his love for you, and you're going to spend eternity with him in heaven. Beautiful heaven. I can't wait to get there. Because I'm going to receive my new glorious body. I'm going to be tall, dark, and handsome like Joey. Not short and gray. No, seriously, but God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And this is a wonderful opportunity to say, God, thank you for loving me so much. Can I reciprocate and love you because of the price that you paid for me? Because you said you loved me first. Can I give my life to you? Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand. Say, yeah, I need to get into a relationship with a loving father like he is that sacrificed his only son. Anybody? Okay, there's a number of us sitting here, say about 150, roundabout. Do you really love as God has asked you to love? This is an opportunity for you right now, and I'm going to ask you to stand up so we can pray together. Hey, Father, forgive me. I need to repent of this. I don't love the way you've asked me to love. My love has not been sacrificial. My love has not been a reflection of your love. Lord, I've loved myself more than I love you. Lord, I've placed other things in the center of my heart as opposed to who you are and you should be. If you're feeling that you want to be prayed for, just stand up. I'm going to, all of you standing, thank you so much. There's two things I'm going to ask you to do. Firstly, we're going to pray together. I'll pray for you. And the second thing I'd love you to do, if you've got something against somebody in this room, that you're just like, the person irritates me, or that person is so annoying, or that person said something to me, I just wish I can smack him or her. Well, I never want to speak to that person again. Why don't you go across to them and say, listen, man, I love you. Please forgive me for holding a grudge or carrying a burden against you. Will you do that? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these beautiful people that have stood up to acknowledge that they don't love the way you love. Lord, I pray that each one of their hearts are open to you and your love, that they surrender their hearts to you in such a way that the center of their hearts is only occupied by you. Nothing else but you, Lord. Every time we look up, and every time we wake up, and every time we go to sleep, we know that you love us because you are the center of our lives. You love us so much, Lord, that when we go to sleep, we know you love us so much that you're going to wake us up in the mornings. You give us air to breathe, as you did today. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us where we've been weak. Help us. We are weak. The only way we can get through this, Lord, is by your grace in faith. And with your love. Amen.